Throughout the Old Testament, God revealed himself slowly but surely to the ancient Jews. And through this revelation, the self-revelation of God, God made himself present to his people and present to them as his very own people. So in a unique way, God was present. When these ancient Jews prepared to enter the Promised Land after being freed from slavery in Egypt, they marveled in amazement at the presence of God that was given to them. The author of the book of Deuteronomy, on the very threshold of entering the Promised Land, exclaims, "For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him?" What nation is there that has a God so close? It's Deuteronomy 4, verse 7. So they were in awe of the fact that they were uniquely chosen out of all the peoples of the world to hear and receive God's law. Through the law, that is the first five books of the Bible, also known as the five books of Moses, the ancient Jews knew God's will for them, God's will for humanity. And through God's will, expressed through the law, God's presence was real to them in a way that no other nation was able to enjoy. Again, for what nation is there that has a God so close to it? Yet, as amazed as the ancient Jews were, even they could have never dreamed of the presence of God that we celebrate today. On today's solemnity, Corpus Christi, body of Christ, we celebrate a far greater presence. It's the mystery of Jesus Christ, our Lord, giving to us his very own body and blood in the Holy Eucharist. At the holy sacrifice of the Mass, at every Mass, Jesus' sacrificial death for our sake is made present again, is represented and made real for us here and now. In the Mass, Jesus does not just come to us spiritually through some type of mystical, magical presence alone, nor does Jesus come to us through a written word alone, like he did to the ancient Israelites. No, far more. Jesus comes to us in his very flesh and blood. And we truly believe this. Can we believe this and marvel at this in the same way that the ancient Jews marveled at the presence of God they enjoyed? The ancient Jews were also taught by the author of Deuteronomy, "Hear, O Israel," this is the word of God, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone, and him shall we serve." So can we really, really believe in the real presence of our Lord? After all, the host just looks like bread. It just feels like bread. It just tastes like bread. It looks like wine. It smells like wine. It tastes like wine. Can we believe? Brothers and sisters, when we approach the altar, all of our senses will fail us. All of our senses are, in a sense, lying to us. With the exception of one sense. With the exception of one. It looks like bread. Feels like bread. Tastes like bread. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold he who takes away the sins of the world. The body of Christ. Hear, O Israel. Hear. We can trust what we hear. We can trust the word of God. And when the word of God speaks to us through the words of his revelation, sacred scripture, or the words given to us by Jesus Christ through the sacred liturgy, we can trust it because the one who speaks it is trustworthy. Jesus Christ is substantially present in the Holy Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And we can believe it because God said it. We can believe it because the one who has the power to do all things, says it. And when he says it, it is so. If we really understood this presence, we would tremble in awe and amazement as we approach the altar. If we really understood who it was we were receiving under the disguise of bread and wine, we would tremble with fear, not for God, but even for our own sake. Who are we? Who are we to receive this presence? Who are we to have a God so close to us as our Lord Jesus is to us in the Eucharist when he gives himself to us substantially? Who are we? We are not worthy for this awesome presence. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves worthy to receive such a presence of God. Yet, our Lord, in his great mercy, has willed to meet us exactly where we are and give himself to us in the flesh. So now, of course, we know we are unworthy for such a presence. But nonetheless, we must never approach our Lord in a casual or presumptuous manner. We must approach our Lord in a way that recognizes the dignity of this presence. We still must approach after making ourselves ready to receive our Lord, preparing our hearts. So how do we do this? How do we prepare to receive our Lord? Well, first, the church has always prescribed a Eucharistic fast, which means before we receive our Lord in the Eucharist, we fast. And in our own day and time, the church requires a Eucharistic fast of 1 hour before receiving Holy Communion. Before we receive our Lord, we fast for 1 hour. We fast to remind ourselves of our own neediness, to remind ourselves of our unworthiness, to keep this in mind. We fast so that our own bodies will be like pure tabernacles that will soon contain the very presence that the whole universe itself can not contain. Also, we must approach Holy Communion in a state of grace. A state of grace. What does that mean? To receive our Lord substantially in the Eucharist means that we receive him without being conscious of carrying any grave sin on our soul. And if we are conscious of having grave sin on our soul, that we have confessed this sin sacramentally before we receive Holy Communion. This is why it is so important. It is so important that Catholics have the habit of regularly going to the sacrament of confession. Brothers and sisters, it is impossible. It is impossible to have a real Christian spirituality without regular sacramental confession. It's impossible. Now, what does this mean, regular sacramental confession? Of course, the faithful can go as much as they like. The church requires her sons and daughters to go to confession once a year. That's it. Once a year, preferably during the season of Lent, but it can be any time. Once a year. Now, of course, we can go more. I go more. I go about once a week. Don't ask. I go about once a week. But why? We make a regular habit of sacramental confession to get in the habit of regularly examining our consciences, being aware of the ways in which we might have fallen short of receiving our Lord in the real presence of the Eucharist and confessing our sins. There's nothing better than going to confession, going to sacramental confession, and hearing the words of absolution spoken by the priest in the name of Jesus Christ. It's so quick, it's so easy. And again, when we hear the words of absolution from the priest, we can trust what we hear. We can trust in God's forgiveness because the one who speaks it is trustworthy, our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who speaks the words of absolution has the power to do all things. And when he declares us forgiven, we are forgiven. Brothers and sisters, we are so blessed. Who are we to have a God so close to us as our Lord is to us in the sacraments? Who are we? This brings me to one final request, one final announcement. This is a request that our bishop, Jaime Soto, has asked all priests of the diocese to give to the faithful. This is regarding the sacrament of confession and the legal recognition, the legal understanding of the sacrament of confession currently in the state of California. In the state of California, the sacrament of confession has been under attack for about a year. State Bill 360 threatens to remove the legal recognition of the seal of the confessional for priests. That is, the bill threatens to lift the legal recognition of the secrecy of all that is revealed in the sacrament. Our bishop, Jaime Soto, urges all Catholics to take action and urges all Catholics in the diocese to make our own opposition to this bill known. He has sent to all parishes a form that all the faithful can sign as a petition against Bill 360. We have made this available in the back of the church. In the back of the church, after Mass, there will be forms for the faithful to sign as a petition against the bill. We have them on the kind of outside, you can see it. If you would like to sign today, that would be fantastic. If you would like to take one home, think about it, read about this bill, and sign at your own convenience, that's also fine. I also encourage you to learn more about this by taking home a bulletin or going to the Sacramento Diocese website, where they have all the information present there. Brothers and sisters, who are we to have a God so close to us as our God is to us? Let's never forget the dignity of our Lord's presence. Let us never cease to thank him. Amen.